Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. This is an awesome time of the year. What a great time in worship as we get started this morning. And we're going to be, as we've been, in this section of Scripture, beginning in John 13 through John 17. And we'll see how far we get through the next few weeks. Next week for Easter, we'll be doing something special. We'll be talking about the subject of hope, where it starts from in Scripture, and then hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. It's going to be a great Easter Sunday. Come and join us for that. So John 13:1, having loved his own who were in the world, he now loved them to the very end. The end of what? The end of the beginning. That the cross is not the end. The grave is empty. Christ is risen. That the King who comes in on Palm Sunday, that they're all saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, is the risen King, the King of Kings, that we get to celebrate. And how awesome is that? The sermon at beginning is the Sermon on the Mount. You can read that in Matthew 5 through 7. This is kind of the sermon at the end, his time that he gathers with his disciples in the upper room and those scenes surrounding that. And remember last week, we're all about we are loved. And we'll write, so therefore, because I know I am loved, I own my belovedness, as we just sang, then I can do as Jesus asked, love one another. But if I understand how I'm loved by Jesus, that Jesus loves me, he has shown that, he's demonstrated that, if I don't own that belovedness, then how do I love? How do I give something I don't have? That was all about last week and where we were. And today is all about, we're going to start at the end of chapter 13, go into chapter 14, and talk about the way. Have you ever been lost? Can I just say, most of the guys are going to probably understand this, because the ladies are like, just go ask for directions. Worst thing a guy could ever do. That is why God invented GPS. You need to know that. Okay? That was not... Right? We give credit to Apple or somebody else. No, that's God saying, I got to help these guys out, okay? Because we do not like to ask for directions. I don't know why. It's a terrible thing. I remember when Stephen was really little and we'd go to Michigan a lot of summers, and we would drive late at night because he would sleep. And so you would think I would know the way after so many. And no, okay? And so then you've got a dilemma. It's like 2 in the morning. Do I actually wake Jill, who's sleeping, and say, I don't know where I'm going, or go, I can figure this out, right? I woke her up when we were about 2 towns over, and I knew I was totally in the wrong place, and just said, okay, where do I turn to get back to where we're supposed to be going, right? Because I totally took the wrong turn, that happened. So, we have GPS now, right? We just tap it in, and, right, it tells us exactly where we're going. Most of the time. I'm sure you all have your GPS stories of there's 2 streets, name that, and it sent you to the wrong place. But we all have that sensation. At some point, probably in your life, you've experienced this idea of being lost, of just not knowing where you need to go, not knowing what's next. And a lot of times it doesn't have to do with directions. It can be your life. You don't know what's next. You're looking for a way forward, a path forward from where you're at and where you're stuck in and where you're caught, because sin is a way of doing that. As we looked several weeks ago, sin is just getting off the path or twisting the path or neglecting the path. And isn't it interesting that if you neglect the path or twist the path or leave the path, you feel lost? Isn't that interesting that all goes together to help us understand this idea of the way? So I want you to see this connection, because it's easy to just open John 14:6 and just say, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. If you don't back up and see the interaction that leads to that, you miss something big that's going on. And one of the reasons we miss it is because of chapter breaks. Okay, or we just think, there's a different chapter, right? So there must be a new thought. There must be something different. Nope, it all continues on through. And there's a discussion that starts at the end of chapter 13. That takes place. And so we're going to see Peter interject on it today. We're going to see Thomas interject on this question, and Jesus trying to teach about the idea of the way and what it looks like to follow him. So here it starts. Chapter 13, verse 33. Now, last week we looked at verses 34 and 35, and Jesus goes right into that. But look what he says right before that. So I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. So, they are thinking, what? They probably missed the next thing he said, so it's got to get repeated later, because they're whoa, where are you going? Where are you going? That becomes their question. Look at this. Lord, verse 35, where are you going? I don't know. I need to know where you are going. So Jesus says it again. Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Okay, this is what I have to do. This is going to be important. We understand it now because we get to look back. And so it's listen, we can't look back and go, what's the matter with these guys? Okay, how do they not know anything? They know nothing, right? They should have gotten it, but they didn't. We can all understand that. So we look at it now and go, well, why didn't they figure this out? They didn't know where he was going. And Jesus is trying to get them to understand. No, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die for your sins. 3 days later, I'm going to raise back to life. It's going to be amazing, but you're not going to come with me now. So what does Peter reply? Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you, which Jesus has to again speak to Peter and go, no. will you lay down your life for me? No, Peter, I need you to know something. Okay, I need you to know that this is going to be fearful. This is going to be difficult, so much so that the rooster will not crow until you have denied me 3 times. Okay? I need you to know that. That's what's going to happen. Okay? That's where this is going to go. There is going to be so much fear that you're next. I know you think, and you're brave right now, and of course I'll go with you, right? And then it happens, and he's like, oh, I don't think I can do that. Okay? That's a little too much. That's a little too hard. So Jesus is just saying, I need you to understand. I need you to understand your heart. I need you to understand where you're going to go. I need you to understand this is going to be fearful and difficult and hard. So we don't have a new thought. Jesus is just going to continue this. And this is really important to understand. Don't disconnect these. Just think this is a continuation of his talk. Because what is the first thing Jesus says? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Or don't let your hearts be distressed. It's the same word that we find earlier in chapter 13 where it says Jesus was distressed. Isn't it interesting? Jesus is distressed because he knows where he's going, and the disciples are distressed because they have no idea what's coming next. Same thing, two different reasons. I know exactly where I'm going, Jesus would say. I know exactly what's going to happen. He's going to pray that this cup of suffering would just pass from him. He's going to pray all those things. So he knows what's coming. The disciples have no idea, and so now they're getting a little distressed. You believe in God, believe also in me. That statement that's hard for us in English, some of your translations will put a question mark because it's saying, you believe in God, right? This is what Jesus is saying. You believe in God, right? And they go, yeah, we got that one, okay? We got that down. Then believe in me. Trust in me. And then he says this. There are many dwelling places in my Father's house. Now, I remember, because I was a teenager at the time when our church made the transition, a short-lived transition to the NIV, and the NIV took out that famous word the King James put in of mansions, right? And that just gave us all these pictures, right? Oh, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to get my 16-room mansion, right? It's going to be huge. It's going to be a big pool out back. And, of course, it's going to have a golf course, because that's what we do to heaven. We just project what we really want there, okay? Some of you want a swimming pool. Some of us want a golf course where the ball always goes in the hole, okay? That's what we want, okay? So that's what we end up doing. We end up projecting. And all that happened with that word was, because of translations and time, it gets translated into mansions. It's not what he's talking about, okay? There are many places. My Father has built many places, okay? There are places for all of you. That's his desire. So watch what he says. Otherwise, I would have told you, because I am going away to make ready a place for you. They would have understood this language. They would understand what he was saying, that he's going away because a place needs to be prepared and needs to be ready. They would have understood all this language. We look and we go, whoa, what's that about? Because that's what he wants to do. He says, do you understand? The ultimate goal, okay? And John picks this up later in the book of Revelation, where God says, finally, the dwelling place of God is with man. Do you understand? That's what God wants all along. He wants us to be with him. That's what was created. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. That's what he created. Genesis 3, as they're walking in the garden, that's what he wanted before the fall. That was his desire. So, of course, what's Jesus going to say? Do you understand what this is all about? I am going to prepare a place for you. Because the whole desire is that we would be together. That we would dwell together because that's God's desire from the very beginning. The word you will find is the word prepare quite often. I'm going to prepare a place for you. John takes that same word, and in the book of Revelation, he picks it up again when he says, I saw the New Jerusalem coming down prepared as a bride. Prepared. It was prepared. It was ready. And he says, I see that. And John gets to see this beautiful connection that's going to take place. And he says, do you understand Jesus is going to prepare a place for us? And if I go and make ready a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me. Of course I would. I'm not going to take a place and go, well, where are they? Okay, why aren't they here? Of course, I'm coming back. You're going to be with me because that's been the whole goal from the beginning. It's what he wants his disciples to understand. That's what he wants us to understand. Do you realize from the whole beginning it is all about relationship and living with God, doing life with God, not doing life under a bunch of rules and just feeling like God just angry and mad and he's waiting for you to mess up so he can just zap you and all this other stuff we get. We forget this. He wants to do life with us. And so much of what the enemy tries to do is fill us with so much guilt and shame, we just don't think God would have anything to do with us. And he's like, no, I provided my son. I provided a way because that's what I've wanted from the beginning is to be with you and to do life with you. So I will come again and take you to be with me so that where I am, you may be too. And then he just asks them a question, right? And you know the way where I'm going. This is like just a confident thing. You guys know the way. And I love Thomas. Now, I know he gets a bad rap. Let's just be honest, okay? If you were in the upper room and you weren't there and Jesus appeared, okay? You don't know what happens, okay? You weren't there that resurrection Sunday. And all the guys start telling you he's risen. Now, this has never happened before. Okay, what are you going to do? Yeah, right. Okay, so I'm just telling you, this could be doubting Ed, okay? Doubting Dan, I like that. Doubting Dan, right. Doubting Craig, this could be all of us, okay? Just put doubting in front of your name. Nobody here is the exception to that. But for Thomas, oh yeah, okay? But watch what Thomas says here. Thomas, Lord, we don't know where you're going. No, we're back with Peter. We have no idea where you're going. And then he asks even a better question. How can we know the way? Because, yes, we want to know, and we're having troubles with this destination thing that you're talking about where you tell Peter we can't go with you. But more important than that, we want to know the way. We want to know how to get to the place that where you are going. So Jesus makes the statement that probably most of you have heard before that comes out at different times, and we're reminded of this, right? I am the way. Guys, what are you doing, okay? It's me. It's always been me. That's what I've tried to get you to do this whole time, is trust in me. Do life with me, because it's me all along. I'm the way. I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Sorry, guys, there is no other way. There's no other way. There's no other way for you to figure it out on your own. There's no other way for you to do it without me. It's me, and it's always been me. And I don't know why we struggle so much with this, because Jesus just says, but it's me, and I'm going to provide everything for you. And we look at, and we take a verse like this, and I'm telling you, people get so offended at this verse, and I have no idea why. This is simplistic. This is simplistic. This is Jesus saying, I'll make this really easy. Me. Yeah, but don't I have, no, me. Yeah, but don't I have to do all these things and do this list and do, no, me. Me, me, me. Trust in me, walk with me, live with me. It is me. It is me. And anything we try to do apart from Jesus gets us lost. Even well-meaning people, and you can read this all throughout the New Testament. Well-meaning people thought, oh, no, it's got to be Jesus and something. Jesus and something. Jesus plus something. And every time he's like, no, everybody's trying to get him back. No, it's always just been Jesus. Only Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, the life. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be wandering. You don't have to know. It is me. It's always been me. So the question is, do you know the way? Do you know the way? Because that's what he's trying to get us to understand here. I want to connect something with you because I don't think we do this enough. I want you to understand your Bible is a connected book. Okay? It is connected. 66 books, 1,600 years. This thing's incredibly connected. Okay? Don't just look and, well, it's got to be Old Testament. That means it's old, right? It's old. I mean, I don't want anything old. I want something new, right? It's old, and we just discard it at times. There's people doing that. Discard it means nothing, okay? I want you to know something. So the 613 commands, if you were to make it through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, okay, you would just make yourself get through those. You would find 613 commands. The Jewish people call that the halakha, or the way. That's all that word means, is the way. That was the sum total of what they did. We have the way. This is the way. So next week, for example, we're going to look at a little bit the story of Rahab. Do you understand? She comes in, okay? They have things for her to understand, to be a part, to join up. We find her in the line of Christ. It's absolutely amazing. Do you know what she does? She acknowledges halakha, the way. She comes in from pagan, following something else. She comes in and she learns the way. It was always about that. This is why Jesus had all these run-ins with the Pharisees. Because 613 commands wasn't enough for them. I don't know why. They just needed more. Okay? So you will find Jesus arguing them. He never argues over the 613. You will find it when Jesus is arguing with them. He argues with them over, and it all depends on the verbiage of your translation, the oral traditions. In other words, we just made up something, right? We made up something to try to tell you what you should and shouldn't do based on this rule. And Jesus constantly went after, no, we have the way. We have the way. Why are you adding to it? Why are you doing more? So he constantly pushed back against that. And then he tells them what? I'm the way. I know you guys, 613, I'm going to fulfill all of this. I didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill all 613, watch what I'm going to do here. So much so, do you know what the early Christians called themselves? The way. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? They just picked up that same verbiage. Acts 9:2, when it talks about Saul, so that if he found those who belong to the way, okay? You can find it there. You can find it in other places. This is all connected. That's why they called themselves that. Because now they have moved to Jesus is the way, and that's what they began to proclaim and teach and help people to follow was Jesus himself, the way. So, why do you think John writes this, right? We've been talking about this every week. Why do you think John writes this? Well, it could be, remember what he's talked about so far? We're to serve one another. We're supposed to understand that God is in control. Last week was all love one another. Walk in this way. Jesus could be saying, this is the way. This is the way. Walk in this way. All a part of this. So what does John want us to know? Well, something interesting. Maybe you knew it or not. He is the last one to write. Okay? And we have different dates for when he was. But of all the Gospels, it's probably, you know, normal. They don't go normally in order. But John is last. Okay? He writes last. We get his account last. Well, do you realize that false ways had snuck in all over the place? Paul has so much confrontation with them. People have said, oh, good, you're following Jesus. You got to be Jewish too, right? And so you have to do these things, right? He ran into those people. He ran into people who were following this person and that person. And false ways had snuck in all over the place. And most of them always added something to Jesus. It was called Jesus Plus. And it was who, you know, they all had something they wanted to add to it. Well, I know it's Jesus, but it's Jesus plus this. You need to do this, or you need to do that. And they all had their things that they add. But you need to understand these false ways snuck in all over the place. And so John goes back and says, wait a minute, what are we doing? Do you remember what Jesus taught us? He is the way. He is the way. Why are we adding stuff to this? Why are we getting so tangled up in all these different things, adding them to what Jesus did? Adding them to that. Why are we doing that? But they did. They got all hooked up. And let's be honest, we do the same thing. If we're not careful, the same thing creeps into us. And something in our life will become just as important as Jesus. And it becomes Jesus plus. And before you know it, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. I think one of the simplest ways, I've told you this before, go to the scene on the cross where Jesus is having a conversation with the criminal who is next to him. And he says what? Right? Sure, you're the king. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Okay, so what happened next? Yeah, right, what happened next? Oh, you got baptized. No, that didn't happen. What did he do next? Ah, we know, he spoke in tongues. No, he didn't do that either, right? He didn't do any of the things that we would tend at times. There are traditions out there that would add them. Oh, Jesus plus. Jesus plus. He didn't take communion, okay? He didn't, whatever it is that people will add to equal that Jesus alone saves and redeems and rescues us. None of that happened. None of that happened. Why? Because Jesus' sacrifice alone is enough. And false ways, I'm telling you, they creep in at times. They just creep in. They creep in, they sneak in, and they get us to try to do something and add something to the work of Jesus. And Jesus plus anything negates the whole thing. It negates the whole thing. So John wanted them to know, and all who would follow him, of Jesus, that he is the way. He is the way. All roads don't lead to God, only Jesus does. Only Jesus does. So, let me prod a little bit this morning. Because this goes very practically into our life when we start talking about Jesus is the way. Because it isn't just at times that we're lost and we need Jesus to save us. There's all sorts of things in our life that if we're not careful, we just stop following Jesus. And we follow, well, everybody tells me to do it this way. Everybody tells me to do it that way. And we just find ourselves lost. We find ourselves lost, looking for some sort of direction. In fact, Proverbs says there is a way that seems right, and in the end leads to death. But it seemed right, right? I don't want that. You don't want that. We want the person who is the way to help us when we're lost. When we're lost in our different situations and the circumstances and the things that are going on in our life. And sometimes we just need to admit that. Jesus, right now, I'm just feeling lost. Feeling lost. I got to decide what to do with my job. I got to decide that my family's a mess. Jesus, my finances are a mess. I need you to help me. I need you to help me. I'm lost in some of this. I'm just lost right now. Can I just tell you, it's okay to admit that. In fact, it's extremely good to admit that. Because there's no way to trust and follow Jesus if you're just thinking, I'll figure it out. Right? Like I did. Let's not wake her. I'll figure it out. I'll get to the right place at the end. And then you just wake up and you go, yeah, you need to wake up because I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to get there. We're lost. We're lost. Good part is you know the name of the town. You still know how to get to where you're going. And that happens all the time. That happens all the time, doesn't it? Because we just get off. And it's so easy, live in a broken, fallen, messed up world that helps us all the time get off. It just helps us to do it. And we're off. We're off following Jesus, trusting him, following him. We just got off the path somewhere, and we're just stuck. And this is a great Sunday. We celebrate Palm Sunday because Jesus rode in, and everyone proclaimed, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Fulfilling Zechariah, and they saw what was taking place and happening. They're cutting down palm branches, laying them on the road, and ultimately he is the King of Kings. You can trust him. You can follow him. He is so loving and so good to us that we can just cry out in our moments of being lost, and he doesn't sit there and goes, I told you so. You just opened the book and read it, I told you so. He doesn't do that. You understand that? Whatever your fear is that God might say to you is wrong. That's when he says, oh, I've been waiting for you to ask. I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to force you. I've been waiting for you to ask. And I'm going to help you in this area you feel lost. Maybe you're lost because you've never given your life to Christ. I am telling you, he is the only way, the only way to be forgiven of your sins, to be made right with God, to be made in whole standing with God, to have everything forgiven and reconciled. That is what Jesus has done. And perhaps that's you. What a perfect Sunday and Palm Sunday to just acknowledge that and put your faith and trust in Christ and find that. But you might experience another area of your life. You just need God to help you. And I would just ask you in these moments, would you just admit to Jesus you're lost? And ask him for help to get on the path of following him and trusting him and acknowledging again in all things he is the way. Let's pray. Then we're gonna stand up and sing How Great Thou Art. And I always love singing that in here because everybody's all fired up singing about how great God is and all he has done. And on a day like this, we ought to doubly remember how great God is and all he has done in our lives. Let's pray. Father, sometimes it's just hard for us to admit that we're lost. Sometimes that's just initially in our life we're lost. We thought we could be good enough. We thought we could do more good things to outweigh our bad things, and it never works. We recognize you're our Savior. And you died in our place and rose again for our salvation. And without acknowledging that, we are lost and separated from you. And you came and said, I'm the way. Put your trust in me. Let me forgive you and set you free. And then, Father, there's just times in our life where the world tells us there's a way to do something. And gosh, it seems right. And yet, as Proverbs says, it always ends up in the wrong place. It always ends up in a mess. And I am so grateful that you lead all areas of our life. We just don't commit our lives to you and have our sins forgiven and then just go do whatever we want. That is not honoring your name. That is not acknowledging your sacrifice and that you are the risen Lord. It is making you Lord over every area of our life. Over our families, over our money, for our marriages, over our work, everything falls under your lordship. You are the King of Kings. So, Father, would you help us today in these moments? And perhaps that's going to pray with the prayer team, just asking someone else to pray with us. We just feel lost in an area of our life. Would you help us? Because I know you will. May we humble ourselves and tell you we're lost. And we find a loving Savior ready to guide us and direct us in your way. Jesus, you are the way. Help us as we put our faith and trust in you to follow you. Help us to do that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Our prayer team, go over to the side. You can pray with them. After the service, they're also available. Find me. I would love to pray for you as well and with you. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art together.